Great to be down here in the lower south with you all tonight. And I think God's made the weather really good, especially since we've arrived. I think I brought my own climate with me. And it's very nice down here. It's great to be in Invercargill and with all you southerners, where the real people are. They tell me this is the mainland. You guys are not very convincing, but anyway, I'll keep saying that while I'm down here, because I want friends. Wasn't Mayor Tim Shadbolt very funny tonight? What's out there? That's a hard act to follow, incidentally. I'm glad we've had dinner and all sorts of stuff in between, and now you're just you again, all right? But it is great to be here, so I want to share with you my testimony tonight. I'm going to share part of my testimony with you. Before I do that, I want to do a little bit of advertising. And the reason I'm doing this, because this relates a little bit to my testimony tonight, and there's a CD on here about walking through the valley of death, and which we've had to do in the last 2 years, and so I'll share that in my testimony where my eldest son got killed tragically 2 years ago, and how you can walk through that and come out the other side. So those are available outside, because I probably will only briefly cover that story tonight and sharing my testimony. But it is great to be here, and thank you very much, can I say, to the board and the team that led the Full Gospel Businessmen throughout New Zealand for inviting me down. It's an honour and a privilege to be here tonight. And thank you very much. It's great. Trying to look at both sides. And it's great to be here. And it is a privilege and an honour. And I shared this afternoon how that I kind of started off in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship many, 32 years ago now. I got born again. Church wasn't my scene. And so I ended up being carted to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. Now, I was too radical for church, probably still am, to be honest with you. And I remember my wife and I got born again. I'm a builder by trade, so I had a very happening building company in those days. And I built a house for a guy who was unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God." And I want to talk a little bit about the power of God and being unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a nation where Jesus Christ is mostly used as a curse word, rarely. And I was one of those, okay? I was right there and never understood that this was the one name whereby mankind can come into eternal salvation. I had no idea of that before I built a house for a guy, and he used to come on the building site most days in the end. I think he had a strategy and a plan, which we all need to have something like that going on in our lives. And he would come on there and he'd bring his Bible on, and we would ridicule him and poke fun at him. And I was good at that, because I thought if you were like a church person, you were weak. And he resembled everything that I thought those kind of people were, Christian people. Okay? So just to help you get that, he was like not a weightlifter. I was lifting big weights at the time, and we thought we were tough, and we were doing all this stuff, you know, and we were living pretty wild lives, very wild lives, I'll rephrase that. And he would come in with his Bible and would give him a hard time, as you do when you're in a group. It's easy to give people a hard time when you're in a group. And then one day, he invited me out to his car, because he said, "I've got a check for you, Donna, payment on the house." And so he dragged me away from the crowd just long enough to penetrate my heart with some pretty challenging thoughts. And his question to me as he handed the check was, "Don, if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity, heaven or hell?" It was a huge question and a challenging question for me at the time, because I was using quite a bit of hemp And we would do it. There's a lot of things we were doing that were probably not legal at the time and not good at the time. And we thought a lot about those sort of things. I was into surfing and we were living a pretty out there life. And this question captured me at exactly the right moment in my life. And it just so happened that it was so challenging for me that I said to him, I said, I don't think I'll be going to heaven. I'll probably go to hell. And that was my answer. And I was pretty honest about that. I think most people know the answer to that in reality when you ask them. And I said, what can I do to change that? And it was right then that he introduced me to this incredible plan of God called salvation, where I could receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, I was in big trouble at home because recently my wife Julia, who unfortunately is not here with me, had found out about some of our schemes and plantations and things like that that we had happening at the time. And so that's not conducive to a happy marriage. And so home was fairly tense, to say the least. And things were not good on the home front. At that stage, we had two children. We were expecting our third child. And things were not real happy. And Julia was very sick. She had got some kidney disease that she was really battling with at that time. She was very sick. And she had gone through this pregnancy quite ill. I had told her that it would be a miracle if this child was born healthy and that we would never have any more. So anyway, in the midst of all of that pain and confusion, I thought it would be a great thing, because going home by yourself to an unhappy marriage is not really the best thing to do. But if you can bring a friend home, he sort of gets, he calms the thing down. It's like if you have someone there, it helps. Don't look so innocent. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. And you can bring a couple of your mates home, you know, and sort of it calms the situation down. So I brought him home that night. I said, my wife needs to hear what you've got to say. And so we arrived home that night. He stayed around. And the amazing part of that story is that at 10:30 that night, on the 10th of October 1978, Julia and I knelt down in our little home beside our kitchen table on our knees and received Jesus Christ as our Saviour. That was the greatest day of my life. My whole world turned around, and my testimony tonight is the continuation of that walk, where I don't know that I could have walked through my life as it is now without having that strategic moment that happened on that day that turned everything around. In the next year, we saw 20 of our neighbours become Christians, and business friends of mine got saved. It was an amazing moment in my life. It started pretty radical. We were Christians now. We took the TV out on the front lawn, and I decided that we weren't going to ever watch TV again. And like I say, pretty radical. When I do things, I do them. We took the TV out on the front lawn. Our neighbours watched on as we tipped all of our alcohol over the TV. And my deep purple, pink Floyd and AC/DC, those beautiful big 33 and a half LPs vinyl that I wish I still had now. And we took them out and we poured the alcohol all over them and smashed the TV with bricks and burned everything else. And I don't know that you're allowed to light fires on your front lawn anymore, so don't try it. It was a turnaround point in our lives where we would never be the same again. And we made some stands there. And I'd found the truth. And the Bible said, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And the day I gave my life to Christ, the guilt that I carried on my life, the guilt, the confusion in my mind, the unforgiveness, the problems that I'd had with my father and all that stuff, that day was gone. And you wonder why I was happy. That was the happiest day of my life. I started off afresh. And I believe, and I want to say this tonight before I go on, and I want to rephrase to that again, the greatest day in my life was 10th of October 1978 at 10:30 that evening, where I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. My wife beside me did exactly the same. And it was the beginning of an incredible journey that I want to share a little bit of that with you tonight. So, God, I thank you for every person hearing my voice tonight. I thank you, God, that you are here in power tonight through the Holy Spirit. I ask right now that you would speak to men and women's hearts. It's our heart, God, that is the most precious. I pray you'd speak to our heart tonight. I pray tonight, God, that you would heal people, deliver people, and set them free to live great lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to pray right there because I want to say this tonight. I believe there's at least four people in this meeting tonight that God has a miracle in this place for you. There's someone here right now with a neck injury from a road accident, a motor vehicle accident, and God is going to heal you right here in this meeting. In fact, right now you can feel the power of God touch you even as I talk about that because God is here to heal. There's somebody else right now, you're living under a cloud of oppression. Your grief has filled your life and you cannot escape grief and you cannot live in your tomorrow. There's somebody here like that and you've carried that grief for too long. And if you carry grief for too long, you begin to become dark and morose in your whole countenance. And I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me today that God is going to totally set someone free of that condition tonight. And you're going to be able to deal with grief and begin to live again on the other side of that. The third person I want to talk to is someone here with a damaged knee joint. And I believe even right now God is touching that knee joint and your knee joint will be healed tonight. He's going to heal your leg and restore it. And someone else with a shoulder condition, you've had a dislocated shoulder and that thing consistently pops out. Tonight there's a healing anointing here to totally restore that shoulder. And I want to believe God for you and pray with you tonight. There's someone else here and you're struggling right now with a financial condition. There's a situation where it almost seems your finances are cursed. It's like you cannot get a breakthrough. You cannot find your way through. And tonight, I believe there's some people you have to forgive and you have to live beyond that and let that go. And God's going to bring blessing on your life. Those are the things I wanted to talk about tonight as I share this testimony. Because all of it's relevant in my life. I've walked through just about every story I've talked about tonight. And like I say, we became Christians I was very passionate about this. I'm passionate. I say to most people, whichever way you're going to live, live it to the full. If you're going to live a life without Christ, live that to the full. In fact, you need to because you only get this shot at it. At least we get another life. And on the other side of that, if you're going to live as a Christian, live full on and go for it because God's got so much in store for us. So I chose to live full on. I thought I've lived enough of that life. I'd seen my friends shot and killed and some terrible things happened. And it was great for me to be able to turn aside from that life and live in this brand new life that the Bible promises will be a life where He will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's a life where God never promised once that you wouldn't walk through a storm, that he never promises once that you won't strike hardship and mountains that you've got to climb. And so my testimony tonight is about how you can even walk through the valley of death, and the secret is to keep walking. Too many people stop in the middle of their trouble and start looking around. And I want to say this tonight, if you're walking through hell, it's a good place not to stop and keep walking till you get to the other side. And we all experience situations alike to that in our lives. And so I just want to share briefly on some of those experiences tonight. But I want to say that you can be victorious and you can be a conqueror. And I love reading stories about people like Sir Edmund Hillary, who conquered Everest. And one day with that mountain behind him, he'd had several attempts at conquering it and had failed each time. And one day he stood in an auditorium like this and pointed to the mountain. And he said, "Mountain, you can't get any bigger, but we can." And I believe in this testimony to some degree is about how you can grow through the circumstances of your life and the stretching trials that we go through and become a bigger person on the other side. And so Julia and I were, in fact, it was funny because it was at a full gospel businessman's meeting that we got invited to a marriage retreat. Now, being a male, I thought I knew everything there was to know about marriage. And the funny thing was, I thought they were inviting me there to talk about it. Otherwise, I would never have gone to a thing on. And they said, this is all about how people can get their marriages back together and get their marriages going good. And believe it or not, in the midst of the chaos that I was living, I thought I had it all together. And so when they invited us, I thought, great, I'll go and tell them how to work their marriage out. And so we went to this thing, to my great surprise, to be sitting in a crowd and being told what was wrong with our marriage and how we can rectify it and how we can get God in the middle of our marriage. And it was the most incredible start to our Christian life. And we had God coming in and doing all this stuff and operating on me, of course, and beginning to live the life. I always say the man out of his place causes the woman to be displaced, the children misplaced, and God ultimately replaced. And I think that's where my life was prior to that day I made that great decision. So we began to live in this life, and we began to live a real life of victory. I saw my shed with the guys this afternoon. I saw my business turn around just by forgiving. Forgiving's one of the great keys in your life. I remember the day I sat down with my mum and dad, and we'd become Christians now, and there was a lot of animosity there and stuff that had gone on. And I remember the night Julia, my wife, and I took my mum and dad out to dinner, and we sat them down and we shouted them dinner, and they wanted to know what this dinner was all about. And we said, this is because we want to ask your forgiveness, and we want to forgive you for anything that's become between us, and we want to just live a great life. And from that day, my dad and I got up and hugged that night, and it was just the most miracle of healing and restoration. And God released us. You know, the Bible says to honor your father and mother that your days may be blessed and go well with you. And I believe that was an incredible turnaround that day in our lives. And we began to live this life of victory. Then I came to another full gospel meeting one night, and there was a guy there speaking from Tonga, and I spoke to Jim Lamb. I think you said you were going to Tonga. Was it you? No. It was who was I talking to? The Moody's, sorry, are going to Tonga on a mission trip. And but it was an amazing thing. That night he came back and he stayed at our house, and we shared some things. And I was driving my brand new four-wheel drive truck down the road the next day after talking to him, and he prophesied a few things. Oh, nothing about going to Tonga, but just about the power of God to go and do some stuff with your life that's beyond your own life. And I remember driving my new four-wheel drive to work the next morning. I just bought a section at the beach. Life was going rosy. And I remember they'd taught me at a full gospel businessman meeting. I wasn't a Christian very long, but they'd taught me if you speak in tongues, God will speak stuff into your life. And one speaker came and he said, sometimes you need to interpret your tongue and make it work for you, just instead of talking stuff between you and God. And I remember driving to work the next morning, and I shandala bashi kirianda, which interpreted meant for me that day. And I was like, God, what does that mean? And it's like, sell everything you've got and go on the mission field. And that was a pretty radical word, because how do you tell your wife that? I thought about, you know, shortly after that, I read about Abraham, who one day went home to his wife and said, hey, baby, we're out of here. God said, go. And so we're packing up the tent and we're on our way. And it was a bit like that for me. So I went home and said to my wife, who I'd just built a lovely new house for, I said, baby, we're out of here. And she said, I wondered how long it was going to take you to get the message. So we went on the mission field and served there. We took our whole family. By that stage, I should say that she had that baby. And incidentally, what I didn't share with you, on the night we became Christians at 10:30 at night, he had a word of knowledge, and he said, by the way, there's something wrong. You have a health issue that's restricting your life and causing pain to you right now. And God healed that as you prayed that prayer tonight. And Julia has never, ever since that moment, ever had a kidney problem in her life. Totally healed and restored right there. we ended up having another child, and her name's Christy, my youngest daughter. So we have four children right now. One of them's already in heaven. He's a builder, so that's key. And if you're going to send anybody to heaven, send a builder, because he's probably working on my mansion right now. And it's all part of the strategic plan. And so we four children we ended up with. And so now we have six grandchildren, which is incredibly exciting. All of my children live pretty close to where we are, and involved in the church and going for God. So it's very exciting, and it's just a blessed life. Moving on from there, we went to Tonga. We came back from Tonga. We felt the call to go to Bible college, and we went and served 2 years at Bible college. And that was a challenge. We went to Australia, to Victoria, to Harvest Bible College, where I got nearly thrown out of Bible college at least three or four times for being too radical for the concept of Bible college. And I couldn't get my head around this whole deal of going and studying and doing that sort of academic sort of thing around the Bible. You know, I'd just read the thing and gone and laid hands on someone and they'd got healed. And then I read the Bible again and went and practiced that and read the Bible again and had words of knowledge over people, and people got saved, healed and delivered just when I just read the Bible. So I struggled with the whole thing of having to go to Bible college. But it was like a God thing where he directed us and we end up there. But I struggled with some of the concepts of what it was, and so consequently I think it was three times I nearly got evicted from the Bible college. However, just to clarify the end of that story, they invited me back to celebrate that I was the student of the decade in that 10-year period. So there we go. There's some redemption in everything you persist with and continue with, okay? So we need to persist with. What I do want to share with you tonight is that I've had many experiences in life, and I want to challenge you with the power of God tonight. Paul said he's a God of power. I'm not ashamed of this God, because he's a God of power. He's able. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the fire. Everybody knows that story. They said, man, give up or we're going to burn you. And they said, listen, our God's much bigger than your fire. And I'm here tonight to testify that we have a big God. That I have a big God. I'm an ordinary person, and let's never live beyond that. I'm just an ordinary guy. But Julia and I have a massive God who is able in every situation in life. We went through, we've done many things. We came back to New Zealand after a season, and we helped pioneer a church in South Auckland called South City Christian Life Centre. I travelled out as an evangelist out of that church, and pretty much all over the world travelling as an evangelist and seeing literally thousands of people healed, delivered, and surrender their lives to Christ. I had a phone call, incidentally, the other day from who was a young man by the name of Michael Lopez, and I was in East LA in a place called San Bernardino, and one of the wildest places in America at that time, lots of murders and killings. And Michael Lopez happened to be a gang member who was very high up. He was supplying most of the gangs around LA with drugs, weapons, and Michael was living with his girlfriend. They had a little girl who was no longer living with them, but he was living with his girlfriend in an apartment, and an old guy. Well, I shouldn't say old. The guy was probably only 60, okay? I'm not far off that myself now. And a mature man who was 60 years old. And his name was George. And George didn't think he had a lot of influence or effectiveness left in his life. He was part of a church I was going to speak at, and they asked George if he'd just go and deliver some pamphlets out to come to one of my meetings. And so they had a picture of me on and all this stuff, and he was going around knocking on the doors of these high-rise apartments, and he went to the door of Michael Lopez and knocked on the door and said, here, I'd like to invite you to a Christian meeting. And Michael Lopez, a dark, hard young man with eyes just like steel, looked at him and he said, you ever poke any of that Christian stuff in my eyes again and I'll kill you. George went home that night, and I was due to arrive in the country the next week. And when George went home that night, he had a dream and he saw this young man, the very man he had tried to hand the pamphlet to, saw him take a bullet in the chest and saw him fall down on the ground and bleeding to death, laying on his own ground and crying out for someone to help. Unbeknown to George, Michael Lopez had the same dream the same night. It was like a God intervene. I want to tell you, the God that I talk about here is very real tonight. He can intervene in any situation that's going on and anywhere in the world, in any life. He's bigger. He knows every government decision that's happening. And God's not like, he's not disappointed. He's got a plan and it's all going to work out in the end. God is never, ever behind the eight ball. He's way out front. He's a big God. And so Michael Lopez has the same dream and George has the same dream. So he decides he'll go back. He better go back the next day to see what happened. He goes in and he knocks on the door. The minute the door opens, Michael says, "Man, I'm so glad you've come back. Where's that pamphlet you had? Last night I had a dream that I got shot." And George said, "I know the dream. Let me finish your story." And Michael Lopez came to my meeting and got radically born again. And when that day happened, he's since been on a police video, and some amazing things have happened. Brothels, I think. Is there another word for it? But what they were, many of them have closed down now in that edge of town because he was running a control over those things. They've shut down gang violence. The police are stating that gang violence has been cut by 75% because one man is influenced by the power of God. You never know what will happen when one man gets saved. I got saved on the 10th of October, 1978. Then next thing I'm influencing Michael Lopez, and he called me the other day to say, "Don, we need to see you over here. I'm just so fired up about what God's about to do right now." And I say that to say that everywhere God takes you in a life is a place of influence and a place of destiny. We came back, and as I say, we finished traveling as evangelists, and 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, actually, Julia and I decided we felt we should plant a church. We felt it was a God thing to plant a church on the north side of Auckland City. So we planted a church there, and it was a real God thing. We started out with nothing. And we've just seen God totally build that thing. In the middle of that, and since the day we started, there was a day where we had a men's function, a men's, like, there's nothing like a good men's group. And so we like, you know, guys like toys, four-wheel drives, Raptors, quad bikes and all that sort of stuff. So we all went to the beach with all our four-wheel drive machinery, and that day we used three Westpac rescue helicopters. The first one we destroyed on the beach because it sucked sand into the turbines while it was trying to lift one of our guys up and get him to the hospital. They brought in another one to where we had to transfer and get all that happening. And then because of that chaos where one of the guys had got seriously, seriously injured, and they had to airlift them out of there, and it held us up and the tide was coming in, and the Raptor we had, the four-wheel drive, four-wheel quad bike, if none of you know what that is, it's like a crazy motorbike thing. They're a sports bike and great at jumping and doing great jumps, and all that's fun while you're doing it, while you're still alive. And driving that, and so the four-wheel drive that it was supposed to go on the trailer of to go home had to leave because of the tide coming in, and so we were left stranded there, and I was left with this quad bike to take right down Murawai Beach down to return it home that night, and there was two of us and another guy on a motorbike who had helped transfer the guy into the other helicopter, and as one of the choppers was left on the beach that night because it could no longer operate, and it actually came down from 100 metres up and the motors were jammed. And so we were riding down the beach that night, side by side, and he was a little in front of me and flicking seaweed and all kinds of muck in my eyes because I never had any goggles and nothing on at that time. And he was flicking up, and I thought it would be a good thing to overtake and get in front of him. As I was overtaking, he hit some soft sand and decided to cut across. He was on an ordinary trail bike, and he cut across probably 2 meters in front of me and cut across. We were doing approximately, let's say 100K, And he cut across in front of me. And, of course, the quad bike went straight through the middle of his bike, cutting it clean in two pieces. And so he received some serious head injuries, flew up the beach that way. The last thing I remember was holding onto the handle of the quad bike as it was going through the air. And I was up in the air. The quad bike was above me. And I was thinking, not a pretty sight. Let's let go of the quad bike. That was the last thing I remember. I came down on the beach. The quad bike, they tell me, came down on the back of my neck, crushing 5 vertebrae in my neck and seriously smashing the bones into the spinal cord, which, of course, rendered me instantly unconscious and paralysed. And so I was completely paralysed from the neck down, laying in the water and the incoming tide. And as the tide came in, of course, you begin to choke, and somehow I woke up in the middle of the scene and snapped out of the unconscious, realising the tide's coming in and it's the waves that are choking me, and I'm thinking, let's get out of here. And I went to crawl out of there, and of course, the weird thing is the power of your mind is unbelievable. God created you amazing. And there's nobody that can deny the awesome power of God when you consider the power of our mind. It's so great that when I went to crawl, I literally saw that hand go out and that hand go out, and I was literally crawling, but nothing was happening. In fact, the limbs weren't even actually moving. And so what I discovered when I sort of like, what's going on here, and I noticed I couldn't move anything, even my head would not move, but I noticed that this arm had been torn out of the socket over here and was literally laying on this side of my body, and so was very, very badly dislocated, torn out all the nerve endings, and a pretty tragic state. And so I thought, I'm going to drown, and as the waves were coming over, I was catching my breath and trying to live and trying to breathe in that scene. And I decided there's a good time. There are good time when you have those short prayers. God, I need help. I prayed this prayer, God, I need an angel. That night there was a guy who had gone fishing on the upper end of Murawai Beach, if you know it, beyond Rimmers Creek. You can't cross over that once the tide comes in. And he had fished just the side of Rimmers Creek, and he decided he would camp there the night and fish. When I sent that prayer up to the Lord, Lord, send an angel, somehow he got an SOS message from some angel of heaven, because the Bible says that when you pray, you deploy angels. And so an angel must have come and said, come on, move down the other end of the beach. He starts driving down the beach. He gets halfway down the beach and sees the carnage of the broken bikes and jumps out of the cab of his truck and comes running over. Is anybody alive? Is anybody alive? My friend was unconscious up the road. I was in the water, not in a good state. And I managed to squeak out some sort of a response to his question. And what I said was, you must be an angel. And he said, I don't think so with this can of beer in my hand. And it pays never to lose your sense of humor, because I responded, you're the first angel I've ever seen with a can of beer. And he found that, he said, man, you've got a great sense of humor. You look like you're in a bad way. He said, what I'm going to have to do is put your shoulder back in. And he said, listen, I can't move you because you've no doubt broken your neck, and to move you, I need to put your shoulder back in because I don't want to do any further damage. And he said, it may cause you to go unconscious. So he got my details. And sure enough, when he put my shoulder back in, I went unconscious again. And I woke up after, because Auckland had run out of Westpac helicopters. And so he had to call one from Whangarei, and the big Iroquois one came down from Whangarei. And I woke up just as it was landing on the beach beside it. And they loaded us in there. And I had absolutely no feeling and no movement from my neck down. And they rushed us into Auckland Hospital, where they told us, you've seriously damaged your spine. Then they put us into the MRI scans and every different x-ray and whatever else you've got, and put me on machines to help my breathing. I couldn't breathe properly. My heart was fairly seriously messed up. And truly thought I was going to die that night. And in hospital, and for the first time in my life, I've never ever known fear in my life, and fear gripped my soul. And the worst thing you will ever have, and I believe too tonight, there's someone in here, you've been living with fear, and God's going to set you free of fear tonight, because fear will cripple you, stop you, and hold you back from living the life of joy that God's got for you. And I was in hospital, and I remember laying there, and I was fearful I was going to die, and I was having all kinds of crazy, must have been the morphine, and crazy sorts of visions and dreams, and I literally thought I would die that night. They finally ended up after doing all kinds of tests on us and finally coming to a conclusion that you had paralysed and you'd seriously damaged your spine and you would not be able to walk again, they shifted us then to North Shore Hospital so I'd be a little closer to my wife and family. And in North Shore Hospital, Julia finally said to me, "Don, you're a man of faith. What are you doing accepting the idea of being paralysed?" And what's worse, the fear that I thought I was going to die. And I was convinced I was going to die. You need to realise when fear grips your mind, there's no escaping of that. You can't escape it in the natural. No drug, no nothing will cause you to escape that. But she brought in something, and she brought in a Walkman, and she put on my ears these little listening earplugs, and it was Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho at the time. I think he's changed his name. And anyway, and so she said, "You need to listen to some good faith preaching to get you back into the place where you were." Now, Pastor Yonggi Cho is an unbelievable man and pastors the biggest church in the world, but I get a little, his stuff doesn't do a lot for me, you know, and when you're laying there paralyzed and all you're doing listening to the stuff over and over and over, you want to pull it off, but I couldn't pull it off. Because my arms would not respond. Nothing was working. I would have liked to get a nurse to come, but they don't respond when you call. You've got to push a buzzer, and you can't push a buzzer either when nothing works. So here I was left with this stuff on. And then he came on, and his talking was annoying me, to say the least. Then he said these amazing words. Most people don't understand faith because they don't understand the power of confession. Here I was laying in this bed, totally paralyzed from the neck down, and I suddenly had a revelation that God has given me, I can still talk. I remembered the verse, and he talked about Mark 11:22 says, "Have faith in God. If you've got your faith in anything else, it's guaranteed to let you down." But then he went on and he said in verse 23, it says, "Whosoever says," that's whosoever. It, like, that really got me, because it was like anybody in the world is a whosoever. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to have an academic degree. You can just be anybody. But whosoever says to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he has said, shall be done for him. And it was like such a revelation to me. I thought, man, I'm going to start speaking to this spine of mine and cause it to turn around and be restored in Jesus' name so I can walk again. And the amazing thing that happened right then, I spoke to the fear that I was dealing with, and the fear totally vanished in moments. In moments, the fear was gone. I had no more fear. I knew I was going to live. I could feel inside my spirit that I was actually literally going to run again. Then he went on to say these words. He said, "I had lunch with a neurosurgeon the other day, and the neurosurgeon said to me, 'Pastor Cho, we've just made a new discovery.'" And he said, "Well, what is that new discovery?" He said, "We have discovered that the speech center of the brain is located dead center of the human brain." And Cho says, "So what does that mean?" He said, "Well, when we probe the left lobe, your little toe wiggles. When we probe the back lobe, it causes your eyelash to twinkle." And he says, "But when we probe the dead center of the human brain, it activates the entire central nervous system." To which Dr. Cho responded, "Oh, I know that for a long time." And the neurosurgeon says, "How could you possibly know that for a long time?" And he says, "Because in the book of James, it talks about the tongue being the most powerful weapon that a human being has, the tongue and what you say and what you speak." And in Proverbs, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And the neurosurgeon responds to him with this response. He says, "That could be why we've done further surveys and we have discovered that when people are going in for an operation, if their talk is negative, their healing and restoring time is 3 to 5 times longer than that of a person who's talking positively when they go for the operation." He said, "We've also discovered that people that start saying, 'I'm tired all the time,' are consistently without energy." He said, "Another discovery we've made is that people, when they start saying, 'Oh, I'm getting old,'" which I'd hate to think anybody here would ever use that term, oh, I'm getting old. He said, we find that the minute they start talking like that, that certain parts of the human anatomy start to shut down. Nerves begin to die the minute you start speaking that way. And he went on like this. And so I was so challenged and inspired by this word, I started speaking to my body and I started making declaration over my body. Then I said, I got a hold of the guys in the church. I said, you better come in and pray for me. I need to get out of here. I need healing. They came in and they prayed for me. And they pray those hospital prayers. You know how it is when you're in a hospital and there's a room full of people and you don't want to be too radical. You don't want to be too noisy. We've got a God who's half dead, probably still in the grave. And so we don't want to wake anybody up with this prayer. So they were praying this prayer like, dear Jesus, if you could possibly heal Don, that would be a good thing. And they didn't realize the desperate circumstance I was in, where I don't care if we get kicked out of the hospital for praying too loud. And I couldn't wave my arms because nothing would work. But I was like, stop, 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 stop. I said, you guys have got to do a lot better than that. I serve a God who is powerful and a healer. And I said, today I need him to hear you. We don't want to be whispering to him. I'm expecting a miracle. Do you realize how desperate I am? And I believe sometimes when we get desperate enough, God just looking for an opportunity to respond. So they began to pray and the entire room began full with the power and the presence of God. Right then, I felt such a power go through my life that I thought I would literally, I still couldn't feel a thing, but I thought, man, I'm going to get out of this bed and just walk any second. But it didn't happen. But however, what did happen, there was a man in the next room, in the room along, and he got out of his bed and came into our room while these guys are still praying a radical prayer, quite noisy, and he's tears streaming down his face. And he says, guys, whatever you're doing, I just got healed. And I'm like, God, wrong bed, wrong room. And I'm the one who's paralyzed, and this guy had got healed in the room next door because of the prayer they were praying in that room. Anyway, to go on from that, I started confessing over my body, you're going to walk. I started speaking to my central nervous system. I make a declaration of my central nervous system, calling you whole and complete as God's word declares you to be. I started talking to my big toes, and I started saying, wriggle you big toes. If any of you have seen the movie Kill Bill, which we shouldn't talk too much about, but there's a scene on there where the girl literally talks to a big toe. And I took a page out of that and started talking to my big toe, which I had total faith that my big toe was wriggling. People would come in to visit me in the weeks that followed, and I'd say, can you see my big toe wriggling? And they'd say, yeah, Don, that's a nice confession. But what they didn't realize, that I wasn't just making a confession, I'd seen it in my heart. And what you've seen in your heart, I forget who it was, but somebody said, if you can get it in your heart, you will soon hold it in your hand. And it was a couple of nights after that, that I literally, I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body, but Paul said that once, you know, I don't know whether it was a vision or real, but I found myself sitting on the edge of my bed. And I didn't know whether it had really happened, but I remember standing up and dropping onto my feet, and I sort of stood there, and it was an amazing, amazing dream. So the next night, I somehow thought, I'm going to do that. And so I gave it a go, and I don't even know how I gave it a go because I'm dead from here down. But faith is an amazing thing, and somehow I found myself that night sitting on the edge of the bed and ready to give this thing a go. And I couldn't feel anything on my body at all, but I thought, here we go. And I kind of launched myself off the bed, hoping that my pegs would hold me up. And the reality is you can only go so far with a catheter attached. So I didn't go too far that night, crashed onto the floor, absolute chaos, nurses came running. Nobody knew how I quite got there, but I believe it was faith that got me out of that bed and got me onto the floor that night. Once you've had a go, there's nothing in the world that can hold you back. So the next night, I'm going to give it another go because these pegs are going to work. The end of that story is I finally got released from hospital in a wheelchair to go home. They wanted to send, they wanted to alter our house, they wanted to make it into a paraplegic house, they wanted to put a ramp in, they wanted to change the bathroom. And I said, nobody is changing my house in any way. If my wife has to carry me to the bathroom for the rest of my life, we're still not going to alter it, because I'm going to walk to that bathroom and I'm going to do things the way I would naturally do them. And for about 3 weeks, Julia had to carry me and get me around the house. But after that, suddenly, strength started coming to me. I still couldn't feel my legs for weeks after that, but I started walking on them. I started making my way to the bathroom. And I believe that the Word of God is the most powerful thing you can apply to your life if you want restoration. And as I'd every morning speak the Word of God over every limb and every part of my body, and finally, I was totally and completely, then I went to the door one day and answered my own front door, and the visitors came and they said, "Don, it's you." And I said, "Who were you expecting?" And they said, "But you're walking." And I said, "Exactly. God has healed me and I'm now walking." Then this arm still had absolutely, it was just dangling beside me and couldn't make it work. And one night I went out for dinner. We went out for dinner. We're at the restaurant. And I said, "I want to pay tonight." And I said, "I'm going to sign the thing." And Julia said to me, "But you can't, your arm won't work." And I said, "We'll give it a go." And I went up and I remember putting the credit card across, and then it came time to sign and I tried to sign. It was the worst signature ever seen. And so much so that the girl said to me, "That's not your signature, sir." And I said to her, "What do you reckon Lazarus' signature would have looked like when he came back from the dead?" She didn't laugh like you. She said, "Ah, I remember that story. My Sunday school teacher told me that story." And I started telling her about how this miracle had happened in my life and how God had totally restored me. And now this arm was the final thing that God was working a miracle on. That night I prayed a prayer with that girl across the counter. And from that moment on, my arm began to be totally restored. So tonight I'm waving a miracle arm at you that they have said would never work. I just want you to get that tonight. This is an arm that was never meant to work. I was never meant to walk again. Here's the miracle of it. And I want to give you this short end of it, as my time must be nearly up. But I've been back to the hospital many times over this injury, and here's the amazing thing. They've MRI'd me, they've scanned me. When I go back, they poke pins and touch you and do all sorts of stuff, and cannot believe that I have full feeling everywhere. It's beyond medical science. It's called the science of the Holy Ghost. It's the healing power of God. Because when they x-ray me, my spinal cord is thinner than your fingernail. And they say, nothing you do, you should be able to do. They want to put neck braces on me. They can't believe, they think I'll collapse on my next step. But I went and I said to God, "How come you haven't made the picture look good? Because I feel so good. How come the picture doesn't line up to the feeling?" And God says, "Because you will walk by faith and not by sight." And from that day to this day, I've been walking by faith in God and the confession of the Word of God over my life that keeps me strong and healthy. I just recovered. I could now walk to the letterbox and get my mail. I think I came and spoke at one of the chapters at that time, Len. I think I came and spoke, and I had some assistance to get there and shared that testimony. And every time I share it, I get a little better and a little stronger, glory to God. And then I was just at home one night and feeling good and feeling, "God, you're restoring me." And the phone rings and I pick up the phone and it's Constable whoever. And he says, "Is that Mr. Don McDonnell?" It was 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday afternoon. He says, "Is that Mr. Don McDonnell? I'm just ringing you to tell you that your son Regan has just been killed in a motor accident." And I thought, "Who is this?" And I just hung it up. Just goodbye. Bad news. You don't want to hear it. And anyway, I got a phone call back a few moments later from my son's father-in-law. And he said to me, "Don, I cannot believe. Do you realize you just hung up on the police? They're here right now. And Regan's just been killed on his way home from work in a tragic road accident where a 100 tons of Arctic truck went straight over the top of him in his vehicle and cut him into about 3 pieces. And so the good thing about it was quick. It was the most horrific news you could ever hear. And I want to tell you, things like that, you can't walk through them without God. without God, you are. I went into total agonizing depression and grief right then. I got my whole family together. We pulled all the kids together. We drove rapidly to the place of the accident, and they'd already shifted him by then. They'd picked up the remains of his body and taken him to the morgue. And I remember going down. I needed to see him. I wanted to pray that God would raise him from the dead. And they wouldn't let any of us in to see him at that time. And finally, they agreed to let me in to identify him, and which was probably the most gruesome thing a dad could ever look at in your entire life. And I remember saying, I want my whole family, they need to come and see this boy. And of course, the police said, there's no way, we can't have any. So I managed to convince them to get him down to the funeral directors, and they did an incredible job, God bless them, of putting his body back together and stuff. And then we were able to get the whole family in. And we came in, and you know what the girls are like, they want to hold on to arms and hold on to anything they can hold on to. And I was like, God, don't let them pull too hard on those arms, because I don't know how the heck they're connected, but they were connected for that moment. But it was just a tragic, tragic, tragic moment. And I went into severe depression. I lost my faith again right then. To that stage of my life, I'd understood God to be a good God. I'd understood God to be a loving God who would care and watch over your kids. I'd served God on the mission field, and I understood that God would look after my kids because I'd been faithful to the call of God on my life, and we pretty much served our whole life for the Lord. And I was like, God, you have totally let me down here. And I was so angry. I was so mad. I tried it for 2 hours. I prayed a resurrection prayer over his body, which ended up, they said, we've got to move you out of here. You've been here a long time, and I had been. And so I went home, I wept, I locked the door, I went into my office, I lay on the floor, and I wept my heart out for 3 days. I wept my heart. My oldest son had been taken from me, and I didn't think it was worth living, never again worth preaching the gospel or doing anything that I'd done. And I was the most broken man in the world. My wife, Julia, was so devastated that her eldest son had been snapped out of her life, and His wife was so busted, their little girl with no dad now, who was just 3.5 years old. And it just, none of it could make any sense to me. And I was so crazy broken. And I remember laying on my bed and I was saying, God, I can't even hear you. I don't understand you any longer. And it was the most tragic part of my life. For 3 days, I wept every tear I could weep. I screamed every scream I could scream. And then finally I got the Bible down again for the umpteenth time and said, God, if you even are alive, if you're real, please, like, why can't I understand anything in this book anymore? And I flicked it over and I finally went, and I thought there's only one person I'd ever relate to in the Bible. It'd be Job. Job, who in one day lost all his servants, his houses all burned down, and then a servant came running and said, your wife and family have been killed. And I thought, that's the only guy I could possibly relate to. So I started reading the Bible with tears streaming and crying out and screaming to God, and nobody would dare come near me. I was just so angry. And so I was locked in my office, and at about 2 o'clock in the morning, finally, I got to Job chapter 13 and verse 25, and it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that verse became like as big as this room, as big as everything I can see in this room. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that verse meant more to me at that moment than you'd ever realize, because I'd always thought I understood God. How can you understand a God who lives outside of time? How can you even begin to think that you understand God? God who's bigger than the universe, who made this universe, who shaped this planet, who measured out the water with the palm of his hand. And I suddenly started realizing, I thought I understood you, but God, how can I ever understand a God who lives outside of time? We are time trapped, but God, you live outside in the vastness of eternity. If I understood you, I would never be able to live within time-bound time again. I would have to be free from that. And it became a revelation to me that God lives outside of time. And as I read on, I came to Job chapter 19 and verse 25, which says this, for I know that my Redeemer lives, And I somehow God put those two verses together and I said, God, I can hear you again. God, I can hear you. I don't understand you, but God, tonight I trust you. That would be the biggest miracle I've ever had in my life. That would be the largest miracle anybody could ever have in their life, to go from a place of understanding to total trust. God, I trust you whatever. I trust you with my son right now. I trust you through this agonizing moment I'm through. I trust you, God. You've got it all in control. You said you'd walk with me through the storms of life, through the valleys of life, through the dark depths, cavities of life. But God, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And he was right there at that moment. In fact, the Holy Spirit came in, picked up all the broken pieces of my heart off the floor, and I literally saw him put them back in here. And I knew that moment I was going to be okay. It happened because I typed into my computer, God, if I can't hear you, maybe you can speak to me through the internet. So I typed in My Redeemer Lives into Google and pressed the button. And up popped Nicole C. Mullen. I'd never heard of her in my life. She's an African-American black singer girl who's been to hell and back herself, now sings the most beautiful songs in the world. She's a Facebook friend of mine now. But Nicole began to sing the song, For I Know My Redeemer Lives. And though you go through the valley and go through the storms of life, he's alive. You can call him on the phone today and you can talk to him right now and he'll hear your cry and hear your prayer. It was the most amazing miracle moment in my life. I downloaded her song. She was on there live on YouTube singing this. I downloaded it on my computer. I took it down to Julia and I said, baby, we're going to be okay. God's on our case. And I played this song to my wife, for I know that my Redeemer lives and nothing can steal away the hope of Christ from us. And I played that song to her and she was like, we both wept like anything as God came through and the Holy Spirit came and just held us and embraced us and said, you're going to be okay. And we came through it that night and we said, you know what? They told us, don't even arrive at church on Sunday. Don't even come. Take the time off. And Julia said, how could we not arrive at church? It's the one thing we've stood on all this life. It's our foundation. It's our reset button. When trouble comes, we go back to God. We don't go to anything else. We go to God. And she said, we're going to be there and we're going to speak. And that was cool at 2 o'clock on Sunday morning. But come 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, we both woke up and said, what did we say we'd do? And she said, you'd have to be kidding me. There's no way we're going to go and speak at church. And I said, let me poke on Robert Schuller. Maybe he's got something good to say to us. And I got up and poked the TV just as I poked on the button. Remember, I'd never heard of Nicole C. Mullen in my life. I'd never seen her in my life. And as I just poked the button on, Robert Schuller comes straight on. He said, it's my privilege today to introduce to you an amazing singer, Nicole C. Mullen, who is going to sing the song, If We Can Just Touch the Hem of His Garment. Then she sung this amazing song, How We Get So Crazy, and how the woman with the issue of blood was so crazy that she couldn't touch Jesus, but he pressed through her madness and touched her soul and healed her soul so she could reach and touch him and be made instantly whole. And right then, a miracle happened in our bedroom, and our madness and that craziness of grief and death was suddenly restored and healed by God, and we knew we were going to be okay. We went to church and preached that morning, and the power of God moved. People got saved on that day. We took an offering that day for young people that we're going to change our perspective. We're not going to let death be our focus point. We're not going to let tragedy and grief be our focus, but we're going to focus on life. And we made a decision that day, received an offering for an orphanage that we're involved in Vietnam, and invested in there, and went over just recently to see hundreds of little kids and held these little babies in my arm who've got no mum and dad and broken little kids and held in my arm and just saw the power of God. And what, you see, my Bible says all things work together for the good, and you'd wonder whatever good could come out of that. But I want to tell you right now, just this last week, I got invited to speak at a organization. I went along and spoke there, and as I was speaking, I shared the same story I'm sharing with you. And I said, you know, we can be conquerors even in the face of death. And people say to me all the time, Don, how come you haven't got the smell of fire on you? You've been to hell and back, got no smell of fire on you, because the Holy Spirit can heal grief and set you free to live a great tomorrow. And I tell you right now, it wasn't me who got killed, it was my son. And so I need to live a life that shines the glory of God on this side of it. And thank God he's given me the strength. And I was sharing that, and a woman starts sobbing uncontrollably. Next thing, she falls off a seat and she's crying and sobbing. And I stopped and I went over and I said, "Ma'am, is there something we can do here? What's going on?" She said, "I've just been healed." She said, "The police shot my son a few months ago." And she said, "I've been so mad at God. I've been so angry at God. I haven't been forgiven. I couldn't get on with my life. And today, oh, God has set me free." And I want to tell you right now, God will use everything that's ever happened in your life if we can just live in victory on the other side and lift our hands and lift our voices and praise him, because he is the God of everlasting salvation. And the greatest thing is, you see, here's the key, is giving your life to Christ. When I got born again, my whole family got born again. I know my son's in the arms of Jesus right now. I know right now that we have an eternal hope because of the word of God. I live my life as a testimony that there is hope beyond the grave, that the grave is not the end of our life, but it's just the beginning. Why do I believe that? Because I've lived this life of faith. I've walked through the valleys, and I know that God is a God who never leaves and never, ever forsakes you. When you're broken, when you're desperate, God is right there to perform a miracle in your life. I want to finish my testimony right there, and I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray for people in this place. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now, Lord God, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed right across this place. God, I ask you right now to take that testimony, shape it into miracles all over this place in Jesus' name. God, restore, heal, bring people back to you, God. Bring restoration to homes and families and lives. And in Jesus' name, God, the greatest miracle of all is that people would know that they are going to go to heaven. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I just want to ask you right now, maybe you're here tonight. In fact, I really believe there's a person here tonight who you're away from God right now. You're uncertain of your eternal destiny because of the life you're living, and you don't even know whether your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to ask you right now, and I want to give you an opportunity. Friend, if you are not a Christian, or if you are unsure of your commitment to Christ, I'd like to pray for you tonight and include you in this prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand so I can see who that is I'm talking to tonight. But if you need to get right with God tonight, can I please ask you right now just to lift your hand and give me a wave right where you are. Right where you are. Right here where you are. And I'm just believing there's somebody here right now, God speaking to you. God bless you. That's awesome. Thank you, honey. Is there somebody else right now? And you know God speaking to your life. You're either away from God right now. You've either got stuff going on in your life that would cause you to doubt your salvation. And I believe tonight is a day where you need to know the saving love of God here tonight. I'm just going to ask one more time. Is there anybody here? Anybody else who needs to say yeah to God? Bless you, honey. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I believe there's a man here tonight that you need to say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you tonight. I just believe God spoke to me about a man, a male here tonight, and you would lay your head on your pillow and wonder about your eternal destiny. And I just want to give you one more chance. I want to give you one more opportunity. I'm going to ask one more time. If that's you, friend, could you please just signify that by lifting your hand tonight. I want to include you in this prayer. It's fantastic, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray right now. And I wonder if we could all stand. This is a fairly important moment. And I want to make this a call for your life tonight. And I want to make this very powerful. And I'm going to ask everybody in the house if you'd pray with me tonight. This is probably the most exciting thing that can ever happen, is people getting right with God. To me, this is it. Bigger than any miracle I've ever seen. I've seen some incredible miracles. You're looking at a miracle tonight. You can't deny miracles when you look at me, because I'm walking around pain-free and totally restored. And so that's the biggest miracle in the physical realm. But the greater miracle is someone's soul who is eternally saved. That's the greatest miracle. So I want to pray with those who lifted their hands tonight. I won't make you come out the front, but I just want you right where you are. I want you to pray this prayer. In fact, we're all going to pray it together tonight, because I think it's that valuable and that powerful. So let's all pray it together with those who lifted their hand. I'd like you to come to me. I've already seen who you are. I'd like you to come to me after this and acknowledge that, if you would, please. But let's pray right now. Jesus, I thank you that you paid the price for all of my sin. You cancelled the effects of sin in my life forever at Calvary. Now I am set free from any effect of sin from this day on. I am born again. Jesus, please forgive me for anything in my past that has hindered or restricted me. Right now, I choose to live wholeheartedly for you. Thank you, God. I'm born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's absolutely awesome. Give God a big hand clap there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Absolutely awesome. Just before you sit down, oh, no, you can sit down. Sit down. I'll let you sit down. Here's what I want to do right now. I had four words of knowledge, I think, at the beginning of this meeting. One was for the spine. Another one was for somebody who's right now suffering for that whole grief thing, working, trying to work through that in your life. I believe there's a miracle right in this house tonight. I've seen many miracles in that. It won't happen just by you trying to think it through. It'll happen by a divine revelation, okay? And God wants to give a miracle in this house tonight. There was somebody else had a knee injury. I'm trying to think of the other one now. But if you... Shoulder, sorry. Thank you very much. And the financial thing. Now, if you know that God was talking to you tonight, I'm going to invite you right now to get out of your seat and come down here because I want to pray for those people. I believe there's a miracle going to happen right there. And I'm serious. I feel the presence of God all over this place. I just sense the power of God here tonight that even now, boy, there's a power of God. You'll sense a power of God coming on you right there, right there, right there. As you come, what is it you're coming for, sir?
The financial thing.
Lift your hands. As you came, around that corner, God says, because you were faithful, because you were obedient. There's nothing better than obedience, I want to tell you right now. Obedience is just hearing, just God, that's you. Bang, I'm there. God, turn to the left in the middle of the night. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be walking across your room in the middle of the night. You're going to be just going to the toilet. God's going to say, hey, I want you to shift that deal you're doing right there. I want you to change that. I want you to shift this into this realm. And God's going to do stuff you're going to hear very clearly in the middle of the night. And God's going to do a miracle. Lift your hands right there where you are right now. Here comes the power of God on you in Jesus. Take a step forward, actually. Step in. You're stepping into something. You'll never, ever live in that realm again. God's breaking something over your spirit right now. And the miracle, God, it's already done. It's already done. Right, it's done right there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Who was it with the neck injury? I want to pray for that neck injury. Was it none of you guys? Yeah, who's that person? There's somebody in here tonight got a neck injury, and I believe God wants to heal that spinal injury. Who is it? I just really feel that right now. Somebody here with some kind of neck spinal injury. Is that not up behind me? No. Is that you, ma'am? Come on out here. There's a miracle right there for you on that neck injury. Get ready for that miracle, sir.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ah, he's a miracle-working God, folks. I want to tell you right now. Now, this lady here, I want to tell you, God's doing more than this miracle in you tonight. In fact, just as you stand there tonight, right now God's unshackling you from grief, rejection, which has held you, locked you up. And God says, never again. In fact, right now, there goes your miracle right there. There it goes right now. God just unlocked that whole thing of rejection right through your mind. Words that were said, cancel tonight, cancel tonight. There goes the power of God. Is it your neck, is it? Shoulder, Holy Ghost, right now, let that miracle happen in Jesus' name. Restoration in the name of Jesus. We speak to the bronchial, lung, and respiratory system right now. Right now in Jesus' name. There's a power of God just working on that right now. Holy Ghost, we thank you right now for a miracle in that realm in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Where was the brother over here with the shoulder problem right here? This is you. Spirit of God.
And my knee.
And your neck.
Knee.
Shoulder and knee.
Left knee. Left knee, right shoulder.
Okay. How's it feeling right now is what I want to know.
A bit tender.
but tender. Okay. I just want to say this here tonight too. I really believe the laying on of hands, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I don't believe this is for anybody special, it's just the Word of God. Like anybody in the world can lay hands on sick people and they get healed. I just want us to really get that here tonight, okay? I think we've had long enough where we think somebody's special enough to do it or whatever. It's not about that. It's about living a life that's sold out to God and you just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. We had guys who got saved on Wednesday night laying hands on the sick and instant miracles taking place. Why? Because God just loves to move his power through ordinary people. Just through ordinary people. Here comes right now, Holy Ghost right now. Touch him with a miracle tonight in Jesus' name. Never the same again. Never the same again. Get ready to spring about on that knee. Boy, I tell you what, the power of God just come on you just as I walk past you right there.
Yeah, found it.
Yeah. What are you here for?
Jesus.
Okay. There it goes. Now, Jesus' name. Break it off him. Off him. Off him. Peter, what are you here for tonight?
Rejection.
Yeah.
No Holy Spirit.
I just really feel as I go to pray for you. I believe there are a number of people here tonight dealing with it. You know, God wants us to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing, I'm sick. I'm a pastor of a church, okay? The thing that probably sickens me most in life is the lack of empowered people to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Rejection and unforgiveness will instantly cut off the flow of the Spirit. They'll stop God from operating through you. And I'm going to pray for you right now. I want to say, get ready for miracles to happen. I prayed for you today, didn't I? And I think I spoke something to that degree over your life. Get ready for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be operational in your life. If there's anybody else in here suffering rejection or unforgiveness that you're dealing with and battling with, just stand to your feet right now. I believe there's a miracle in this house for people that are battling in those areas, battling either in rejection or unforgiveness. And you'll know who you are. You'll know exactly who you are. You don't have to convince people of that. I have people coming to me all the time saying, I can't forgive my dad. And one of the things I do wish is that people would stop blaming their dad. Truly. Because most of the time, the poor old dad been to hell and back himself. And my Bible says that we can be released of that by confessing it with our mouth that we forgive. That's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. Rejection's leaving you tonight, even as you stand there, sir. That spirit that got on you is going tonight in Jesus' name. You're going to be free of it. There's going to be a liberty come on your mind, your vision, your focus. You're going to be able to focus on stuff, that confusing stuff, that chatterbox that got you. Gone right now in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. Free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, just let the blood of Jesus wash over him right now. I curse that spirit that would try and hinder and restrict, and I cut it off in the name of Jesus. No more effect. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Now here comes the anointing on you. Nothing else can be there where the anointing is right now. Fill him. Fill him. Fill him to overflowing. It's a new day. It's a new day. I want to prophesy that over you. It's a new day. In fact, God says, get ready to see the victory of God and everything you put these hands to do in Jesus' name. Those people that were standing, are you still standing right now? I want to pray for you right now, right across this place. Holy Spirit, just lift your hands to the Lord right where you are. That sister right there in the pink, right now, the Holy Spirit just says to you, set free. It had bound your mind and bound your spirit, and God says, you're going to confess with your mouth, I forgive. And God's going to say, that's more than just words. It's going to be a faith thing that gets out of you, and you'll speak it by faith and be liberated into the purposes of God all over your life and your circumstances. Happening right now in Jesus' name. Lord, set her free. Sister down the back there, set her free right now in Jesus' name. The brother over here, God, set him free right now in Jesus' name. I break the curse that's been over your life, and I liberate you all right now to walk in the victory of God. Lift your hands to the Lord, sir. Holy Spirit. Oh boy, there's the presence of God coming on you right now. Here's what, I just believe the miracle got done just as you stood here. just done just as you stood here. Take it right now. Take it. Holy Ghost. What do you do for a living, man?
Farmer.
Sorry?
Dairy farmer.
Dairy farmer. Get ready for a big payout. But I don't just say that jokingly, but what I want to do say is get ready for a breakthrough in every circumstance in your finances and in your life on that dairy farm, okay? Because a big payout not just going to do it, but God's going to give you a victory in those areas and you're going to see stuff begin to happen. Here it comes right now. Jesus' name. God, I loose the anointing of the Holy Ghost of blessing on him right now. Spirit of God, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. What are you here for, man?
My knee.
The knee. You're the man with the knee too. Okay. Holy Spirit, we lay hands on this knee right now. In fact, I want everybody to stretch your hand toward him. I believe right now God's activating stuff through everybody in the house. And here's your miracle coming right now. In fact, just right now. Because hands are stretched toward you. There's power in this place to break anything. In fact, none of us need walk out of here with any symptom of infirmity whatsoever. And God says right now, I release faith. I release, because God says this to you. God says you are a man of faith. Somebody said to you, you didn't have enough faith. But God said, you've got all the faith you'll ever need. The faith that got you to the altar, the faith that caused you to confess Jesus is all the faith you'll ever need. And now, in Jesus' name, right through that knee, God, let restoration happen in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How's it feeling? Feeling better? Great. The sister right here.
My left knee.
Your left knee too. Those knee injuries. It was a left knee that God gave me, actually, and I'll tell you right now. Holy Ghost, we pray over Anne tonight. Anne, where do you come from? Te Awamutu. Holy Spirit, right now. Why have you got that? Is that because of your knee?
Because of my knee.
Yeah. You need healing. Holy Ghost, right now. God, we just cause heaven to be opened over you right now. Here comes the presence of God on you right now, eh? Lord, I pray that it would flow right now, right through her. You are a God of restoration. I speak right now to every part of your body. I speak restoration and healing right now to that knee. I speak the restoring power of God. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. There goes the love of God all over you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What were you up here for, sir?
My giving.
Lift your hands up to him right now. Here comes. Jesus. God, you heard the cry of this man right now, and I pray in Jesus' name. You told me that you would let people free in that area of financial restriction tonight. And God, right now, I just prophesy it over your life and declare it right now. I declare the breakthrough. I break every control. I break it right now. Witchcraft, smash it off. And everything it's controlled, everything it's influenced, gone, gone right now in Jesus' name. How's that knee feeling, Anne?
Still a bit tight.
Still a bit soft. Holy Spirit, we're believing for a total miracle here tonight. Total miracle in Jesus' name. We speak to this knee joint in Jesus' name, calling you whole and complete as God's word declares you to be. And in Jesus' name right now, God, I pray that the pain would cease. That the pain would cease. Here goes the anointing on you right now. Thank you, Jesus. It's just a beautiful presence of God all over you right now. Just let God do a miracle right there. Let him do a miracle. He's doing a miracle. I'm absolutely convinced of that. How are we going, folks? There's a real victory of God in this place. A real victory of God. I don't know if there was anybody here tonight that had been through grief in the recent days and is struggling with that grief. Is there anybody here? Just slip your hand up if that's you. Been dealing with grief or walking through that valley. Come on out here. I'm going to give you this tonight. Is that you too?
Yeah, dog grief.
Oh, yeah, okay. I believe you've already had a miracle right there.
Can you just...
And you lifted your hand tonight, and I believe right now this is a whole new day for you. And you haven't got a name tag on.
No, Sharon.
Sorry?
Sharon.
Sharon, turn around. Just turn right around. Look at me again. Right around. Look at me again. Because it's scary looking at them. Yeah. I've been looking at them all. Do it one more time. And we'll do that one more time. Because this is what the Holy Spirit says to me right now. That final turn, God says, like the planet turns and seasons come with it. Every turn, every part turn, four seasons in 1 year. God says, get ready for a season of victory in your life. God says, you just turned into one. On that third turn, God says, I'm turning the circumstances around. It's a brand new season. Give me that, will you? Lift your hands to the Lord, because a miracle is going to happen in your life right now. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you have totally set Sharon free tonight, and God, that you heal her. Give her a revelation, Lord God, of your love right there. There it goes, right through you. Holy Ghost, breathe on her right now. There goes the breath of God right through you. Just take that. Restored. Restored. Mind released. Fear gone. Fear gone right now. There it is. This thing of fear just broke off you. Gone. Gone in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to do right now before I close tonight. I want to pray for anybody who's got any kind of infirmity or pain in their body. Right now, just jump out of your seat and come up. I just believe this is such an anointing here. And come. I'm going to get Pastor Rod, would you come and pray with me? I'm calling you pastor now, that's a frightening word, but